Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
The president threatening on Twitter, in all caps, to, quote, close our southern border if Mexico doesn't stop what he calls an onslaught. What's in fact about 2,000 migrants who fled Honduras and are making their way north in a caravan. Mexico has said that migrants that have proper documents can enter that country, but those who don't would have to apply for refugee status or face deportation.
So the president knows that there is a caravan headed towards the United States from Honduras, about 4,000 people. Will he close the southern border? He's going to be in Arizona tonight. He's going to stay for the next couple days before he leaves. Is he going to shut down the southern border?
I hope not, but this is what he wants to do. Now, whether he can do it is a totally separate issue, but he has threatened to take aid away from Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala. He has threatened Mexico. He has also said, well, I'll just send the military and we'll shut this, you know, sucker down or whatever.
I'm fine with him throwing all that stuff out there because you got to figure something out to stop people from continuing to come in.
Right.
I don't know if he'd pull the trigger on any one of these ideas he's already put out.
All right, so Trump just tweeted about 15 minutes ago. He retweeted something from a Mexican journalist
okay.
who writes for an American publication on the migrant caravan. Two federal police-filled planes with anti-riot gear landed near the Mexico-Guatemala border this morning. Trump retweets it with, "Thank you, Mexico. We look forward to working with you."
Oh, so he's threatened Mexico and said, you guys better stop them from coming in, because if they're caught, if the caravan, if the people are caught in Mexico, they're going to be sent back. I mean, Mexico's laws are different than our laws.
Right.
If you come here and you want to claim asylum right at our border, we have to let you in. That's the law, not the law in Mexico.
Right. So I don't know if this is Mexico's way of, I guess, making nice with America, making nice with Trump.
How about just doing their job, doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Or will they let the caravan in and the anti-riot is just to make sure that everything stays orderly and they just let them through and they just escort them up through Mexico into the United States? The president seems to think, hey, Mexico, you're going to stop them. Thank you very much. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if Trump thinks that's actually going to happen. I think he's probably hoping because he wants it to be Mexico's headache instead of his.
True. True.
And
But Mexico could escort these people
to the border. Yeah.
Our border.
Sure.
Correct.
And then they got to deal with Trump.
Right.
Do they really want to do that? I don't think they'd want to do that.
I don't know what the recourse is. You can't just stop people from coming in and leaving the ports of entry because that stops trade, that stops money, it'd be an economic disaster if he would do that.
So if he closed the southern border, what does that look like?
No fruits, no vegetables, no goods, no services.
Trade.
Oh, trade would
economy.
Be done. Economy. The border towns would just, you know, be, you know, apoplectic.
Remember that people, there are children that actually cross the border from Mexico into the United States to go to school.
For education,
and then they go back to Mexico after the school day.
Would you actually stop it from people coming, flying into from Mexico City? I don't know. I don't know if you'd stop flights. If he wanted to really stop everything.
Right.
Screeching halt. Would he stop people from coming? You know, there are people who drive to Mexico for work. There are people who drive from Mexico to the United States for work.
People,
would he just say, forget it, you're not coming in?
People from Arizona go to Mexico for vacation. They travel there over the border by car. Go to Rocky Point. You could get stuck at Rocky Point.
But I don't know whether he has the power to actually say, shut it down, don't let anybody in or out. Mm. And then you have the other problem of, there are still illegal people that'll come through the poorest parts of the border, not the port of entry.
Yeah, remember what we're talking about here, asylum seekers,
right?
Not illegal immigrants. They're two different things. If you're trying to sneak in legally, that's one thing. If you are trying to come to this country because you're going to die in your country and you claim asylum, we legally let them in. That's the law.
Right.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We bring you four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story Two.
President Trump will be in Mesa Friday night at 7 for a campaign rally at International Air Response at Gateway Airport.
Yep, remember the last time he was here?
Well, I'm thrilled to be back in Phoenix in the great state of Arizona.
All right, so Trump will arrive tonight. He will stay for a couple of days. I think he's going to make Martha McSally gobs of money. And guess who is also going to be at Trump's rally in Mesa? Governor Doug Ducey.
He's going to, what is said, to offer some remarks.
You know, if there was an actual race for governor, this would be an issue. Oh, Trump and Ducey together, and, you know, does Ducey really want to be with Trump? And listen, Doug Ducey, it doesn't matter what he does between now and the election, It's over. He's going to win. He has a terrible opponent who's run a terrible campaign.
So there's no risk now showing up at the Trump rally.
No risk whatsoever.
And actually being seen on stage with Trump,
right. Which
he hasn't done before.
Yeah, I think he's done it once. So let's go over this, because when Ducey joins us in studio for his monthly exclusive, you know, we're asking him about Trump, and when Trump comes to town, are you going to be here? What Ducey always says is, I meet the president
at the
airport.
Right.
He even met Obama at the airport. He meets Trump at the airport. So during previous visits, Ducey, he kind of is this guy who politely keeps the president at arm's length.
He's respectful, but he may not, you know, do the meet and greet in front of a crowd.
He doesn't want a picture taken with
him.
Right. All right, 2015, Trump visits Phoenix as a candidate during primary season. Ducey did not personally welcome or meet the president.
Right.
2016, after Trump won the Republican nomination, the governor spoke at his Phoenix campaign rally.
Smart, because he was the Republican candidate.
Right.
But he didn't necessarily have to endorse him. He just had to make sure he showed up to say, hey, this is the Republican candidate. Let's stand behind him.
2017, Ducey greeted the president when he arrived, did not attend his campaign style event.
Right.
So, you know, Governor Ducey he has met with Trump many times in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing. But photo op or speaking at a Trump rally, Governor Ducey has stayed away from that, but it just shows you how positive he is that he's got this election wrapped up. This race was over before it started. Imagine. All you have to do is say that one word. Imagine. David Garcia, imagine. Imagine a southern border without a wall.
Just imagine.
Just imagine. Mm. And he lost the election as soon as he said that.
Right.
So, I mean, it was over. Listen, we're a border state. You can't be, you know, flapping your gums about something like that. You look ridiculous. Garcia's never held public office. I don't want a guy like that running the state. He's never run anything before.
And then he doesn't have a plan.
No, he doesn't.
If you don't have a plan, how are you going to be governor?
He lost to Diane Douglas. So as a politician, he's not good. But, you know, that doesn't always, that's not, that's. Trump wasn't a politician, but he ran a good campaign.
Right.
David Garcia is not a politician. He had no idea how to run a campaign. Guy lost to Diane Douglas years ago for state education head. How do you lose to Diane Douglas?
Well, we've talked about that before, that was the Republican wave back then, too.
Man, you can't beat Diane Douglas still. I don't know what
to do. A lot of people didn't know about Diane Douglas, but she had an R after her name, and that may have ushered her in to her infamous tenure as the school superintendent. But if I'm Doug Ducey, I do show up.
Yeah.
And you cross your fingers and hope and pray that nothing bad or he doesn't say anything that lands you in trouble, you know.
No, but Trump is going to say something and it's going to be talked about.
Oh, you know he's going to talk about the caravan. You know he's going to talk about the caravan and maybe shutting down the border.
He's going to do his comedy routine.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, he does it for a couple hours. So, again, if I'm Governor Ducey at this point in the race, I'm probably going to win by 20 points.
I can go.
I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think anybody cares.
Now, remember, too, that tomorrow, that is at Mesa Gateway Airport. The president will go to Luke Air Force Base, and supposedly the itinerary we have is that could be anywhere from 4 to 5 o'clock. Mm. If he does speak at Luke Air Force Base and we have a feed, we'll actually get it to you on the show tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we'll carry the Mesa Gateway rally, but I think that starts at what?
6:30,
yeah.
Yeah, big day tomorrow as Trump will speak. And he'll come to Phoenix tonight. All right, you're listening to the Big Four at 4. We're halfway through. We still have Big Story 3 and 4 to go.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story 3.
ASU and the Cardinals both playing at home tonight for the first time ever. Of course, that means traffic from those sporting events are going to go from Tempe all the way to Glendale and everywhere in between.
Oh, it's a mess out there. You're listening to the Big Four at Four, four big blockbuster stories. And big story three is the traffic, because we've got two games. So let's go a little bit in-depth on what's going on out there. Our buddy Detour Dan Beach joins us now. What's up, Detour?
How's it going, guys?
How much of a mess is it out there, and when is the last time you've seen this big of a mess?
We just saw a pretty big jam of the last time the Cardinals played, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't all that long ago, a few weeks back, but it wasn't quite as heavy as this one. The 202 Red Mountain Freeway delays that you'll see just prior to game time in Tempe, I'm not seeing big slowing there yet, but it looks like that traffic is just starting to overload on the 202 Red Mountain Freeway eastbound. But I probably should break it down. Westbound I-10, what we're referring to right now is a 1 hour and 20 minute ride. Man, that is... Man, that's like bring your dinner with you kind of stuff there. Not a snack, but a dinner. Westbound slowing starts from the 202 Santan all the way out to 83rd Avenue. And like I said in the traffic report, that doesn't even get you to the stadium yet. Right. You're still another 10 minutes away from State Farm Stadium. From there, I always recommend on game day, go with the 101. It's usually bad, but not as bad as the 10. That's true again today, but we've reached the point where when I say bad, it's bad. It's now heavy, heavy slowing from Raintree West all the way to Cave Creek. We took a crash on, and it's blocking the HOV lane. You got to stay right for that. And then it's light slow and go to 75th Avenue, but that's only 40 minutes compared to the 10.
Mm. All right, well, Detour Dan, KTAR News Traffic. There is a game at 520 in the west side. Tempe at 6 o'clock. Are we expecting worse traffic, or do you think people have heard what ADOT said and what we've said, what you've said, and they've already left work? Are we still expecting a heavy rush hour after five?
Well, I think for a lot of folks, you can't help but avoid it. If you got to get west on the 10, you got to get west whether there's a game or not. And now it's damage done. The freeway's paralyzed. The problem is being rush hour, and with that other football game starting, the one option we thought we might have would be the eastbound 10, lighter than usual because everybody's heading west. It's not happening. The 10 is loaded up eastbound, and now the 202 Redmont Freeway starting to overload with that game day traffic coming into Tempe. It's not so bad there yet on the Red Mountain, but we're approaching.
People should have left for the game when you were doing traffic on the morning show.
Yeah, really.
I think that would have been a really good. You know what? I love what you said the other day, and it would have applied right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Detour Dan.
You bet, guys. Have fun.
All right, Detour Dan will be here throughout the day. It's just it's a very heavy traffic day. I would just hope that traffic should get better when these games start. Especially when the Cardinals start at 5:30.
Maybe if you're listening now and you haven't left work, maybe you leave after 5:30, closer to 6 maybe.
That's actually a good point. You're listening to the Big Four at Four, four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at Four, Big Story 4.
We're looking at anything that might be causing the AFM because our earlier investigations haven't revealed the cause. 90% of the cases are in those less than 18 years of age, so it is primarily a disease of children.
Yeah, there's this polio-like illness that is starting to affect people in America, kids in America, and now we've got two cases in Arizona so far.
Yeah, this is weird. It's called acute flaccid myelitis.
AFM.
And it affects somebody's nervous system and can paralyze a child's arms and legs.
Dr. Terry Simpson was with Bruce and Pamela today.
What we know about it is that it affects the spinal cord in these kids. We don't know the etiology. It's similar to polio. It is not polio.
Okay.
So that's what we know.
All right, more from the doc.
There have been sporadic cases of this for a long time. In fact, between 2014 and 2018, the CDC reported a little over 380 cases of this.
In 4 years.
Okay. But this year we have over 60 confirmed cases and 60 very much possible cases.
So I know what all of you parents are out there thinking. What do we do and how do we make sure this doesn't happen to our kids? Mm. I'm just looking at what the CDC is saying. How do you avoid it? I don't really think they know.
Right.
Basically, they're just continuing to say, make sure you get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're washing your hands.
Avoid mosquito bites.
Yeah. But
that's how polio, West Nile, other diseases can be.
Was that
be
polio?
Carried.
I didn't know.
See,
that.
I can't remember.
I thought you
polio
were...
is so.
Oh.
Is so.
It's gone.
Right. That
yeah.
We have not had to deal with polio since I think the 1950s when they came out, when Jonas Salk came out with the vaccination.
Yeah. Symptoms: drooping face and eyelids, difficulty moving eyes and swallowing, slurred speech, and this affects people under 18, but it's really, we're seeing very little kids, 4 or 5 years old, getting this. So 2 cases of polio-like illness in Arizona this year. So if you think there's something wrong with your child, because this affects the nervous system and arms and legs,
right,
go to the hospital.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.